When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook.
Sada.
I'm Rob. Big Sook's right over there.
With dude.
At least I think.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, there he is.
Right here.
Watching his team intently.
I'm a little nervous. It's 8-4 in the bottom of the eighth. And as you stated, is there any doubt this will be 8-7? And I'm like, no, it'll be 8-7. I got something's on. Yeah, I do got something's on.
So, yeah. It's a short week. We were not here yesterday. We have a short show Friday from noon to 2.
Which is very...
How many so people put that in your iPhone.
How many people are tuning in at noon and being like, boy, those guys sound completely different.
What
can we do the show as Danny and Dusty?
Yeah, I was going to say, what if we did noon to 2, I'll be Dusty and you play Danny and we try to fool people?
I don't want to do that because then I'd have to be like, I don't want to talk Blazers.
Why not?
Because I don't want to talk
Blazers. Come on, it's the hometown team. You have to talk Blazers. Remember when we were told years ago that we're slitting our own throats if we don't talk about the Blazers all the time?
Yes.
Do you remember
this show will be canceled if we don't talk the Blazers every day.
You're slitting your own throat, Rop. Oh, am I? Well, anyway.
I want to talk about Hot Scoot Henderson and all the good food that he ate last year.
Yeah, dude.
That may be the best and simultaneously worst answer I've ever heard at a media day.
Yeah, I know nothing of what came from Blazers Media Day, which for some reason was Monday.
Well, either he or Ayton were the highlights. Ayton came in with more juice and energy than anyone had seen in a while.
Can we hear the Scoot clip again, real quick?
Yeah,
we're not going to do much on this. But.
No, this is him answering our good friend Sean Hyken.
Now that you have a couple months of distance from it, kind of what do you look back on about your rookie season and kind of what you learned from it?
I look back at the food, the good food that I had. Yeah. Hmm. A lot of food.
A lot of food.
And you know, what I've learned from it.
What he learned from
what?
It?
What?
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. What?
He kind of pulled a Trump, too. He's like, the good food, a lot of food, biggest food.
It is a very political answer when someone asks you one question, you just answer a completely different one, and everyone's at the end of it. Like,
no, I have my talking points. I'm going to hit the food today.
What did you learn from your rookie season?
I have to ask a tough question.
Ask away.
Is he an idiot?
I don't know. I don't know enough about him, but that's a... By all accounts, I guess he's a really good kid.
I mean, I know he's young.
People love him, and he's, like, energetic.
But is he an idiot?
I don't know. I don't know. You're asking if he's Travis Outlaw. And I can't answer that question.
Mm.
But based on that, maybe he was having an off day. Maybe, I don't know. he's going to that lake and he's eating good food. I'll tell you what, that's the only thing I learned from Media Day is that Scoot learned about good food, and then he learned a lot from the food he ate. Maybe it was one of those where someone asked him a question, like Sean Hyken asked him the question, and he didn't listen to the question, and so he kind of got stuck, so he just answered what he thought the question was.
Well, I think he misinterpreted the question. Like, somebody on the Vancouver Four text line said, dudes, he's an underage black man in Portland. What else is there to do? No, I get that. I think Hyken was asking him about the season.
Yeah, he was asking basketball. Him, like, now that you've had time to reflect, what can you take away from your rookie season? The basketball season.
Yeah, obviously, like, ups and downs are what it's like, you know, to pace yourself every two games.
Oh, I felt
games,
like my game really grew.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And by the way, the next time someone asks me a question about anything, I am going to answer with the food. I'm like, the food? Are you kidding me? Yeah, talk about tacos. Let's talk about street tacos. I mean, I guess it just goes to show you can answer a question in any way you want, and no one will call you on. I guarantee Hyken didn't say anything after that. He's like, yeah, next question. It's kind of, if you want to say that Trump has given us one thing, he's given us all the ability to not answer a question and no one ever challenges you on it.
They're eating the cats.
You just say what you want.
Yeah, I think he was stoned there. He sure sounded
well,
it.
Well, there's a possibility of that, too.
You know, it's still off season for those guys. And then what did Ayton say?
Oh, Ayton came in with all this energy, and then he said he's been doing juice cleanses. Yeah. A lot of juices with ginger in them, and he's got more energy than ever because he's going to sleep on time and drinking a lot of water and drinking a lot of juice.
All right. So,
referred to himself in the third person as dominating.
And they have a new, yeah, he does like that one. And more importantly, they have a new cowardly window sponsor on their jersey.
Yeah, I saw
jersey.
That. I'm just pissed about that.
The fake window sponsor.
Hey, it's your window daddy.
Why didn't they?
Yeah,
I mean,
where's the window daddy?
What's the name of the window? Wait, don't even say it. Don't even say it.
We don't
even need to hear it.
The other windows.
Get out of here with that.
I have concepts of a plan.
I bet those windows bros are eating the pets and the dogs.
They're
and the cats.
Eating the pets.
All right. Where were we?
Is the Mets up 8-4 in the top of the ninth?
Gonzaga joining the Pac-12. We'll get to that.
Hey,
we have our
Gonzaga's playing football now?
We have our NFL junk grab coming up. And then in the club tonight, the burrito guy actually did it. And this,
oh boy,
this may have been while you were out.
Yeah, I didn't see the case. This is K-State guy, right?
Yeah. Did we talk about that while you were here?
Well, we talked about it.
Yeah, no, he did it.
He followed up on it, huh?
He did it.
Oh boy.
He did it. Oh, so we will get to that 6-7. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number 5.
UTEP is moving to the Mountain West. They are leaving.
Sure.
They are leaving.
No Miners.
They are leaving their friends from the Conference USA behind. The report is that Tarleton State is in negotiations to be next to the Mountain West.
You're not kidding, by the way.
No, I would not kid you.
No.
Not in the Hot 5.
So I just want you to realize that the Mountain West and the Pac-12 somehow can't figure out that the best interest would be to merge, and we're now down to Tarleton State and maybe Sac State, both FCS schools bumping up. That's where we're at.
For
God's sakes, Gonzaga may play football at this rate. Just, I don't know, throw out a team out there, we could say it's an eighth team. I mean,
again, my Bishop Sycamore idea is looking better
really
and better.
Is. Both of these teams, or both of these conferences, are just stupid. That they're in some sort of pissing war with each other and they can't figure out. And they're going to kneecap each other. If they could just get together, merge, and it would be the best thing for both sides.
Number 4.
The kickoff time is set for Oregon-Ohio State. 4:30 on NBC next Saturday.
Let's go.
Of course, this week's game is Friday against Michigan State. Jonathan Smith returning to Autzen. That one kicks at 6 here on The Fan. And as I've mentioned here a few times today, our show on Friday will go from noon to 2. The Ducks are number 6 in both polls this week. Next week's opponent, Ohio State, they sit at 3. Alabama takes over number 1 in the AP, and Texas is still number 1 in the coaches.
Yeah, we just haven't learned anything about Ohio State. Ohio State's run roughshod over everyone they played. They haven't played any real competition. Oregon seems to have kind of gotten their act together after the two Idaho schools. I don't think we're going to find out what Oregon is until Ohio State. I just don't think Michigan State's going to offer much resistance.
Aiden Childs doesn't do it for you?
Nah.
Boy, his numbers aren't very good.
No.
I haven't seen much of him, but looking at his stats.
Michigan State's not very good. Again, Oregon should just overwhelm them with their athleticism. And then, again, the varsity comes to town, and we'll find out. You will find out more in that one game than you have for both teams in the previous six.
I think we're playing the varsity.
Seahawks have signed 42-year-old Pro Bowl offensive tackle Jason Peters to the practice squad.
Yeah, he's already been in Seattle once, and this would be great news if, I don't know, it was 12 years ago when he was the best tackle in football. But, you know, it's just, again, injuries up front. Seattle's still a good team, but you know, there's not good old linemen floating around, which is why you're going to get 42-year-old Hall of Fame linemen.
Bills' Von Miller suspended 4 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy.
Did you notice that not one time did any of the NFL reporters have the balls to actually say what he got suspended for?
What did he get suspended
for? He beat the crap out of a lady.
Did he really?
His pregnant girlfriend.
His pregnant girlfriend.
Von Miller? I thought Von Miller like had a really good rep.
I thought so too.
I'm just saying, not one reporter from the NFL had the balls.
You know that comes from the league.
Exactly. They just kept saying personal conduct policy and no details, and everyone was like, what'd he do? There's the police report out there. He choked, beat her, you know, it's the whole thing. So I just thought it was interesting that just anytime you think about these insiders, they're just carrying water for the leagues and don't have any sort of backbone.
Well, what's really interesting, too, is I think charges ended up being dropped, probably because he paid for them to be dropped,
yes.
But they still suspended him anyways because they knew that they were legit.
Yes.
So
also, Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence is on the IR now. He is out 4 to 8 weeks with that foot injury.
The Cowboys have serious defensive problems.
Gonzaga will be joining the Pac-12 effective July 1, 2026.
Gonzaga going to be back there slinging that rock.
Yeah, they have a really bad offensive line.
It's very international flavored, and you know.
Oh wait, they don't have an offensive line.
But they will play. Good for Gonzaga is they will play all sports.
Yeah, well, they're not playing football. For those that don't know, they do not play football.
They play all sports that they participate in, and even though no football, which is the money revenue driver, they get a full share of the Pac-12. And also, how about this? Kudos to you, Brett McMurphy, because you took a ton of heat. You reported this weeks ago, and everyone bagged you. And it turned out Brett McMurphy was 100% right.
Wait, yeah, why would they bag him?
Because Brett McMurphy's not one of the people that carries water for the leagues.
They said that he was jumping the gun, that both the leagues, and I think even Gonzaga denied it initially, and he was right all along, and he took some victory laps.
And McMurphy, stuck by his guns and was retweeting certain reporters, even locally, and like, where was that about me being completely wrong?
He's like, this is happening. Yeah. Trust me, this is happening, and then it did.
Well, the Pac-12 still needs one more to get to the required 8. And there's very little speculation right now as to who that would be.
The only one that I've heard is that Sac State, much like the Tarleton whatever state, said that they are investing in a new stadium and they want to move up, and that would kind of fit the profile, and it's the state school.
And number one, the Major League Baseball postseason is underway.
Some great games today, by the way.
Yes, we did have some great games today. The Tigers, who finished the season on a 31-13 run. They won game one in Houston, 3-1. Tarik Skubal, 6 shutout innings. The Astros loaded the bases in the bottom of the ninth, but Jason Hayward lined out.
Hard hit
ball. Take that, Astros.
Yeah. And then the Royals Orioles was, again, down to the final pitch.
So these are best of three. Yeah, the Royals beat the O's 1-0 in Baltimore. The O's being shut out, and then currently in the bottom of the ninth, the Brewers are trailing at home to the Mets, 8-4.
We've had several lead changes in this, too. Milwaukee jumped out to an early lead. The Mets came back, then the Brew Crew came back, and then the Mets exploded and now up 8-4.
So look at the road teams. Now, again, these are best of three, and they are all at the higher seeds place. So
no travel either.
No
all
travel.
Three games
They're
will
just,
be there.
Yeah, the next two nights after this, we get these games in these series. And then the Braves and Padres is the last one, and that one's about ready to get going in about 15 minutes. The Braves, by the way, today saying that Chris Sale is not on their wild card roster.
Back
he was
spasms,
left
right?
off because he was scratched yesterday due to back spasms.
Yeah. That's a huge blow for Atlanta, by the way.
Victorico's Mexican food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com. Let's talk a little bit about the Zags joining the Pac-12. Coming up next on The Fan. Hello. It's Isaac and Souk.
Sports is sports. Two guys right now with 1-0 leads with their teams in the series. Thank you.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, the stat is in the best of threes, there have been 16 best of threes in this format, and the team who won game one won 14 of the 16 series.
So, I mean,
so that's the Royals, Tigers, and Mets.
That's a huge deal. I mean, to win game one, and the Mets didn't have to pitch Edwin Diaz. You're riding high right now. You're riding high.
I mean, I don't know what the standings were in, say June, but if I'm sitting there in June on this show and I'm like, dude, don't worry, Mets and Tigers playoffs. You guys would have laughed me out of the room.
Absolutely.
That's why I love baseball.
I mean, I remember at the trade deadline right before it thinking because the Mariners needed bats. And there was talk that Lindor and Alfonso would just, you know, Alonso would be on the market. The Mets, it was like, dude, they had a fire sale last year with their pitching staff. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, go out and get one of them because the Mets are going nowhere fast. This thing was an unmitigated disaster. And yet, you know, God, they bring out Grimace. And next thing you know, here are the Mets. And they got a little something. You know, it's by far on paper, it's nowhere near the best team, but they got a little magic right now.
Yeah, here it is. So on June, let's see, what's the date here? You and I are talking on the
show. October 1st.
Yeah, I know. You and I are talking on the show on Sunday, June 16th. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, Big Souk, Mets and Tigers, playoffs, book it.
Yeah.
And you, of course, you and Buckley in his cocky giant sniff, you start laughing at me. Laugh me out of the room, and I have to leave and go home.
I would have laughed, yes.
The Tigers, 34. The Tigers at that time were 34-37, 11 games back in the AL Central, and the Mets were 33-37, 13 and a half games back in the NL East. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Those two teams right there.
Yeah, you're fine. I mean, I remember the Mets creeping towards 500 and being like, on the show, like, they're 500.
And then what if I were to tell you the Mariners would not make the playoffs, who on that date had an 8.5 game lead in the AL West? God.
Stat that I saw today, MLB listed the official top whip pitchers of the season. The Mariners had three of the top five, including the number one pitcher in all of baseball.
You think about that pitching staff. It isn't going to see the postseason. And yet, you know, Luis Severino and, you know, and the rest of the cobble together, David Peterson and the cobble together Met staff. That's a postseason roster. That's a postseason pitching staff, but not the Mariners.
Well, in fairness to the Mariners, they only missed by two games. Well, they did. I mean, they were right there.
Yeah, well, but they're not.
But let's not pretend like the Royals and Tigers are like these complete, or the Mets, like these complete teams. But yes, it is interesting that without with pitching like that.
Maybe you should have Sean Manaea then.
The Mariners couldn't advance, but I guess that just goes to show you got to be better than just starting pitching.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I would say so. Hey, the Mariners did say their chairman douche came out and said that they were going to increase their payroll next year.
Great.
Which means they just have to give certain guys raises, but we'll see.
So you want Dodgers-Yankees? If I gave it to you right now, you wouldn't take that, would you?
No.
Well, I mean, let's just say that.
Take the Mets out of it?
Yeah, take your team out of it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You want Dodgers-Yanks?
I'll take it.
Shohei Judge?
Yes. Yeah. I know we get into this. Dirt and Sprague were talking about college football this morning and you know, the whole SEC Big Ten takeover. And I get, you know, I get Sprague and, you know, loves the Beavs and all that. And he's doing the, I'm done. I won't watch. One, you will watch.
Won't watch what?
The football going forward, because it's just going to all be the SEC and the Big Ten.
He's saying he's not going to watch college football?
He's basically tuning out. And if it ever goes to the SEC and the Big Ten doing the scheduling agreement and getting four teams each, that he's out. That he won't watch. He's done.
Oh, only when it gets to that point.
And he's already saying that he's kind of checked out. And first off.
Well, he does host a radio show. So.
Well, first off, no, you won't check out. And Alabama, Georgia proves that. And even if you do check out, you may check out in the Northwest and no one cares because nine more fans will pop up nationally. So we'd love to do the, I won't watch if it's just the same crappy teams that, you know, we see all the time and I'm so sick of them, but you do watch. Whenever it's the Dodgers and the Yankees, when it's Georgia and Bama, when it was Alabama, Michigan, it gets the biggest numbers. So yes, if you tell me that I get Shohei Ohtani in LA and Aaron Judge in New York and they play for the World Series, you can say all you want that you hate those teams and you won't watch, then why will 25 million people tune in and it'll be the highest rated World Series we've had in 20 years?
Yeah, well, it will be highest rated because
it'll be a monster.
A lot of people love those franchises, but I think there's a difference between saying that I won't watch and saying that I don't want it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'll watch.
Yeah.
But I don't want, I'm not rooting for Dodgers Yankees.
If you took away the Mets and said, hey, the Mets are out, I would have zero problem. Because here's my thing. You take out the Mets and I get the Dodgers Yankees. I know I will watch. And I root for Ohtani. I love Shohei Ohtani and I'll root for the Dodgers.
He's not as the MVP
though. Frankie Lindor. Hey, most valuable player, Frankie Lindor. So give me that's something I can root for. I can hate watch with the Yankees, and it'll be must-see TV, and the entire country will be tuned in. It'll be great for baseball. And while that may not be the ideal one for, like, my rooting interest, it's a hell of a lot better than me running the risk that it's going to be Milwaukee versus, oh, I don't know, you give me another – like the most bland, boring matchup that I could get.
The worst is going to be Detroit-Milwaukee.
Detroit-Milwaukee. So you're telling me...
Or Astros, if you... I mean,
oh, God, just choke me right now. Exactly. There you go. Give me the Astros and the Brewers. No, I'll take... Like, last year, as much as I love the World Series, you can't tell me that the Rangers and the Diamondbacks did jack squat for you. It just didn't. So, yeah, you give me the Dodgers and Yankees right now. I will take that all day, every day, if you tell me that the Mets can't be in it.
All right, now to the newest member of the Pac-12.
It's the Pac-12!
My Zags, which is a good get for the Pac-12.
Yeah.
So Oregon State can add two more basketball losses to their ledger. Actually, all those schools can add two more basketball
losses.
I'm
surprised that the Big 12 didn't gobble them up. You know,
probably tried.
I know there was some flirtation there. I mean, Gonzaga's had an opportunity to jump many times, and they haven't.
Yeah, well, they probably just weren't, because they don't play football, they're probably just being lowballed.
Yeah.
And this was maybe a better deal because they get a full revenue share.
Full share and don't have to have anything to do with football.
I mean, I'm guessing that's what happened with them. They've been to 9 straight Sweet 16s, though, which is crazy. They're the only school since the tournament expanded in 1985 to have done that.
Yep.
So this is good for the Pac-12. This one, to me, for all the missteps that the Pac-12 has made, and there are many, this is a no-brainer. If you can get Gonzaga, get Gonzaga. This 100%. Is really good for you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't solve the football problem. You know, they'll have to get Sac State or somebody like that. But I was looking into... So Gonzaga will join July 1, 2026, which is another annoying thing. You got to wait, you know, over a year to actually have it begin.
Yeah.
But Zags did used to play football. Did you know this?
I did not know that.
They did. And really? I was looking into why they bagged it, and I have a little something to read to you.
Okay.
Give it to me. They played football from 1892 to 1941. But you may be wondering, where did it go?
Yeah.
Did the World War take it from us?
That definitely was part of it. It said Gonzaga's football journey began on Thanksgiving Day, 1892, with a tie game against the Spokane Amateur Athletic Club.
I was a big fan of those guys. Love
By the way, you know what the final score of the game was?
Tell me it was like 6-0.
4-4.
Oh, yes.
Their head coach's name was Puggy.
If you could give me, you said it was the Spokane Amateur...
Amateur Athletic Club.
I need one of those, old, you know, the old football jerseys that like Mr. Burns wears where they're like long sleeve with like reinforced elbows. I want one of those that says the Spokane Amateur Athletic Club football. I need that jersey in my life.
Well, they played Gonzaga to a tie that day. And then the Zags football journey ended on November 22nd, 1941 with its historically worst loss to Washington State College, 59-0. Those 49 years saw a 7-year intercollegiate ban on the sport, changes to how the game was played, and a football-generated contribution to the rise of Gonzaga's profile on the national level.
Well, I mean, if you're if you're Gonzaga, is anyone looking back at that and regretting the decision to not play football?
Well, so here's what happened. So it says, while young boys were attending Gonzaga in its early years, they were able to play football and other sports through an intramural league called Junior Yard Association, or JYA. Nice. Coach Gus Doris led the Gonzaga football program through its golden age in the early 20s, and Gonzaga became a ranked team.
Really? I was just reading about old Gus. He went 20-13-3 with them.
Yeah, little Gonzaga played larger schools such as the University of Oregon, Washington State, and the University of Nevada throughout the 20s and 30s. However, once World War II began, Gonzaga football lost its funding and its players. Hmm. After the war, students wrote petitions to bring football back to Gonzaga, and the administration deliberated carefully over these appeals. Suggestions were made to continue the program, such as reducing the number of players and having alumni underwrite athletic scholarships, but these ideas were not enough. The facts were that after continued losses and no promise of better results, football was harming Gonzaga's self-respect. Mm. Furthermore, Gonzaga administration did not want to lower the school's academic standards just so students could play football, and there was concern that professors might be giving better grades to football players than deserved.
How about the dum-dums? They're like, hey, no, can't let those idiot football players
in. They were pioneers.
Finally, there was no way to play the football. There was no way to pay the football program deficit that had built up over the years while simultaneously funding the program, given the impending stadium repairs that were needed. Gonzaga refused to allow program funding using outside money because it would have meant potential external influence over administrative policies.
Can't have that.
Additionally, recent poor crowd attendance indicated a lack of civic interest. In the end, the substantial past losses and the unbearable future losses were too much to handle. The administration shut down football forever, and Friday Night Lights became a memory of the past.
The unbearable future losses. That's awfully presumptive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in some ways, you could say they had a lot of forethought here and were smart to shut down football the way we talk about some of these bad programs right now.
We out.
But then in other ways, it's like, man, if they had just brought it back and fought through the lean years, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
You know, look at Boise State. I mean, just the landscape changes much.
Even if you had stayed on a smaller level, look at like what North Dakota built.
Yeah, exactly.
Or North Dakota State, I should say.
Well, look at their basketball program.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know it's easier to build a basketball program than a football program, but yeah. I don't think anyone, my point was that I made earlier, I don't think anyone at Gonzaga is like, man, if we had just played football. I think they're happy.
I know, but there's probably a little bit of a what if there.
Sure.
John Stockton's paternal grandfather, Houston Stockton, was a halfback for the football team in the 20s.
Of course he was. You know, just making those tough, smart, white runs, right?
And that head coach, Gus DeRace was the quarterback for Newt Rockne at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he was. Brought that Notre Dame pedigree. Yeah.
Well, the Pac-12, when you look at the schools, at least from a basketball standpoint, right? San Diego State recently played for a national title.
Yeah.
You had Gonzaga, who's been the best program on the West Coast for, God, 20 years? I mean, Gonzaga has been the best program out West.
So you got two. What else do you got?
Well, I mean, the Tinkler made a run a couple years ago. You know, it's...
Hey, did you see that program get a shot in the arm today? Beavs Basketball got $3 million in donations from the Dutch Brothers, bro.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
And a Dutch Brother Burgerville guy?
Yeah, he gave $1.5 million to each program, the men's and the women's.
So did you say Dutch Brother Burgerville guy? What does that mean?
Dutch Brothers,
he owns some Burgervilles. Is that it?
I thought he was like one of the big. When I saw the thing, it was Dutch Brothers in Burgerville that I think he's involved with. So, yeah, I don't know which one he started, but there you go. But yeah, I mean, Washington State. Hey, they were good under Bennett.
Okay, what is the third best basketball program in the Pac-12? It's not Oregon State, dude. It can't be. If it is, that's an indictment on the league.
Of the last 20 years or just ever?
I think now, like right now, is the third best?
Dana Altman's done okay.
No, Dana Altman.
Dana
the Pac-12,
in the Big 10,
you idiot.
For God's sakes.
Pay attention.
Utah State made the tournament. Remember they had the...
Yeah. That's a good program.
But the sprinkler's
can't
gone.
Keep up with all the conference realignment.
The sprinkler's gone. Boise State makes the tournament every so often.
Do they?
Yeah, Boise State's a tournament team.
So Gonzaga, San Diego State, it's probably Fresno, right?
No.
Don't they have a good program?
I don't think so. No? I don't remember Fresno State in the tournament ever.
Well, San Diego State played for a title recently and
had just said it.
Good
Buck,
God.
Stay with us. Stay with us.
You're doing great.
You just referenced him.
F.
I think it's a cock. If it's a cockfight between Oregon State, Boise State, and Utah State, I think it is. It might be Boise State. I really do. Boy, I think Boise State has been to the tournament more than those schools.
You're right about Fresno. They're out.
Yeah.
Let me see. But Colorado State was good, weren't they?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Come on. Yeah, they were.
No.
The Rams?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. Utah State made the tournament. They had the player of the year that transferred to Washington when they took their coach. I think it's Boise or Utah State. I really do.
Colorado State was a 10 seed last year and a 6 seed 3 years ago.
So they've made
two tournaments the last three.
So we throw them into the mix? I think what we say is there's two good teams and the rest of it is just a vicious cockfight.
Am I missing a school? They brought over Fresno, Colorado, Boise, and...
You got San Diego State, Fresno State, Utah State, Colorado State, Boise State, Gonzaga, Washington State, Oregon
State. Okay, so you're saying... Okay, let's get this... Let's pin this down before we break. We have to do this. Gonzaga and San Diego State will be the two best basketball programs.
Not even close.
Not even close in the Pac-12.
Yes.
Who is third best to you? You're saying Utah State?
I didn't do some more research. I kind of think it might be... I feel like Boise State makes the tournament.
Okay.
I feel like that's a.
We'll go take a look.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna do some looking. I think it's a fight between Utah State, Boise State, and
I can tell you.
I think it's those two.
So here's what I'll give you about Utah State.
Yeah.
Just a quick glance here.
Yeah.
They were an 8 seed last year with the sprinkler.
Mm-hmm.
The year before they were a 10 seed. Missed the tournament the year before that, but were an 11 seed, 8, 12, 12, 11. You know, so
3 of the last 4 years.
Actually, 4 of the last 6. They have been to the tournament
as
an 8, 10, or 11 seed.
Okay, here's Boise State. Boise State has made the tournament in 2024, 2023, 2022.
Okay.
And then
so 3 straight.
And then 2015, 2013, 2008. So, you know.
About the same.
And I hate to.
How are we going to break this tie?
And I hate to say this, but they've never been out of the. It looks like they're in the round of 64, the first 4. So they don't. It's not great. It's not great, Bob. But they make the tournament.
Where's Andy Katz when you need him?
They make the tournament.
All right. Well, anyway, Gonzaga is going to be in the Pac-12, okay?
Yes. And they will run roughshod over everyone. Like,
yes.
They beat the hell out of the West Coast Conference.
It's the same thing they do.
Yeah, it's the same thing. There. And they make more money. They get a full share. They don't have to play football. They should require, if they're going to do this to the basketball schools, they should be required to field a football team and lose 70-0 every time. Make them do it.
What do they have, like 3,000 kids up there, students?
It's a very small school.
What do you think their football team would look like if you just made them next week roll a team out there? Wouldn't that be fun?
That's what I'm saying. If they're going to kick the hell out of everyone else in basketball, they should be forced to go and like form a club team that has to play the rest of the schools in football.
I bet they'd have a good kicker.
I could see that. Well, they're such an international place. They would go get an Aussie kicker and punter, and they would be...
And they'd just pin you.
Yeah. And then you'd run for like 70-yard touchdowns.
All right. Now we're just getting silly. Our NFL junk grab is coming up next. Here is a very focused Ryan Buckley.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, we made a lot of progress today. We finally got Ryan Buckley up to speed on the fact that Oregon has actually left the Pac-12.
Thank God. It's all very confusing.
Thank heavens. It's not like you went there or anything.
No. Well, I did, but they moved after I left, so it's hard to keep up.
It's tough.
One of our listeners put together the all-time NBA team from the new Pac-12.
What do we got?
John Stockton.
Okay.
Klay Thompson. Kawhi Leonard. Paul George. And Chet Holmgren.
That's a nice little roster.
That is. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And we're probably missing a few, but.
Wait, where did Paul George go to school?
He went to, let's see,
I don't know where Paul George went to.
Obviously, it just occurred to me I have no idea.
That's a good question.
It went to Fresno.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember him at Fresno.
I can't
at
say
all.
That I do either.
But yeah, he went to Fresno. All right, way to go, Pac, whatever.
So the NFL had another weekend. I don't know if you saw that, but they played some games.
I did see that.
Our Seahawks were bludgeoned last night.
Yeah, I mean, they came back and tried to make it competitive, but, I mean, they're dealing with a lot of injuries. And
But that's what happens when your highly ranked defense finally faces a real quarterback.
Who didn't throw an incompletion.
But also four starters down off that defense is going to hurt anyone. But yes,
Golf.
You know, Washington will have this. The Commanders have played... The best defense they've played, three of their four defenses ranked 28th or worse. The best defense they've played is the Giants. So, yes, there is always a regression when you haven't really played anyone. And when you play a team as good as Detroit and you play them on the road and you're missing four starters, I mean, I give Seattle credit for hanging around there. That's a tough spot to be in. I thought Geno played real well. But, yeah, I mean, when you give up 18 for 18, you know, that's you're not going to win many ball games.
You see your boy Dan Campbell didn't know Goff pitched a perfect game.
He felt bad. He gave out the two game balls and didn't include his quarterback. And then afterwards he said he really regretted it because he didn't realize he knew he was having a nice night. He just didn't realize that it was a perfect night.
Yeah, let's listen to Campbell. Is this his postgame speech?
I don't believe this is his postgame. This is him being asked at the presser about Goff. Okay.
Yeah, well, I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. I mean, that, but I knew he played really well. You could feel it. And he really found his rhythm early, and I thought he was seeing the field, played with rhythm. He had to move a little bit in the pocket. I thought what really kick-started him is the, you know, he had to kind of move in the pocket, got spun around, and hung with J-Mo and hit him on the hook for the first down. It was big, man, because he was rolling after that. But just a number of huge throws, played with poise, got us in the right play. You know, it was a heck of a play on the down in the red zone on the catch. Good throw by Saint. You know, been working that. So I just thought it was excellent, you know, and credit to Ben Johnson, too. I thought he called a heck of a game. It was a good game plan. Really everybody on that offense.
He gave a game ball to J-Mo, Jameson Williams, who had two catches. So might have given one to the guy that went.
And Goff caught a touchdown pass.
Exactly. By the way, fun fact, first team since 1933 to have two players throw a touchdown pass with 100% completion rating.
Say that again?
So the Detroit Lions had two players complete 100% of their passes and throw a touchdown. First time since like 1933.
Yeah. Well, because if you do the halfback pass, you might go one of one or whatever, you know.
But the quarterback's
never perfect.
No.
But in this instance, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool stat. Yeah. How about my Lions?
Jared Goff now has more receiving touchdowns this season than Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Jalen Waddle, George Pickens, Sam Laporta, Travis Kelce, and Mark Andrews combined.
My God.
Yeah, the NFL continues to be a little bit of a what the F. Although after 4 weeks...
It always is, though.
Yeah, after 4 weeks, again, you can start to say, take the NFL season in four quarters, four games apiece, and now you get the overtime because of the 17th week. But, you know, you start to see patterns develop, and... You know, sometimes there's teams that keep winning, but you look at it and you're like, it's like this isn't sustainable. And other teams you look at and you're like, hey, man, like with Minnesota, like I keep waiting for a little bit of a regression back to the mean here. But Minnesota is one of the three best teams. They might be one of the two best teams in football right now. I still think from a talent standpoint, Minnesota is not even a top seven or eight, maybe even a top 10 roster. But it's hard to look at what Minnesota is doing against good teams. I mean, they've already beaten the Niners. They've handled the Texans. I mean, I take the Giants out of it. And the Packers made a game of it, but they handled Green Bay. So, I mean, when you look at resumes, that's probably the best resume right now in the NFL. You look at another 4-0 team like Kansas City, and I'm telling you, Minnesota looks light years better than the Kansas City Chiefs, who are also 4-0.
So are the Vikings the number one team in the NFC?
If you take everything...
Are they the number one team in the NFC?
Yes. Yes, they are. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be there at the end of the year. I think a lot of what they're doing is schematics. And normally when that happens, you do see teams catch up to it. But it's usually you're out-scheming bad teams. They're out-scheming good teams. But I still think that when you get enough film on people, it usually comes back to bite you. So I feel better at the 4-0 Chiefs, obviously, being there at the end than I do the 4-0 Vikings. But
I'm saying the NFC.
In the NFC,
so they're
the best
Niners,
team.
Yes. Cowboys,
yes.
Packers.
Yes. And I don't honestly...
they beat two of those three.
It is a definitive plant the flag right now. The best team in the NFC, the best team, is the Minnesota Vikings.
So power rank these 2-2 teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Niners, Cowboys, Ravens, Packers.
Ravens won. You saw, and this is what we thought the Ravens would be at the start of the year. This was the first game where the Ravens looked like a fully operational Death Star. I think they're figuring out Derrick Henry. I think the defense by far played their best game, and they shillelied what was one of the top three teams in football who looked like a juggernaut. So I'm going Ravens 1. Give me the...
Niners, Cowboys, Packers.
Packers 2. I think Green Bay will be fine. I think they brought Love back a week too early, and I thought he was very uncomfortable at the beginning. They don't dig their hole there at the beginning. They could beat Minnesota. Niners, after that, the Niners scare me.
Tatis!
Again, Ayuk looks like a shell of himself. Maybe he comes back. I think the defense is an issue that is going to continue to be a problem. This is not the dominant defense that they've had. There's injuries on that side of the ball too. And then McCaffrey with double tendonitis in his Achilles. He's going into Germany. I think they'll be okay, but I've got serious concerns about the Niners. And honestly, Dallas's defense is just bad. it's one of, to me, it's a bottom five defense in the NFL, and now there's injuries creeping up in that too. Dallas is problematic.
Oh, what's going on there? Zimmer's a good coach, but
it does not look good. It just doesn't look good. And I think you look at the defense, unfortunately, I think Dallas right now has three or four name players that we all think about, and then a bunch of guys that are poor. You can run on them. There's big plays to be had. So I'm pretty firm in putting Dallas dead last in that 2-2. And we'll see that division. The Giants stink. Eagles have real problems. The Commanders, again, much like Minnesota, but I think Minnesota's better than that. There will be a regression with Washington. They'll come back to the pack a little bit.
That might be the best team in the NFC East, though.
Yes. The Commies. Yes. They can win that division because, again, Dallas's defense stinks. Philly hates each other. The Giants just suck. So I actually think that is a really solid play right now to think that Washington can win this division. Like, who was it last year? The Texans, right? Remember, the Texans won that division, but you know, that came down to the last week of the year and they had to eke one out. Like we all love the Houston Texans who have their own issues right now. That run game is the worst in the NFL, and you will not win in this league with the worst run game in the NFL. There's real problems there in Houston, but that was a team that kind of seemingly came out of nowhere, was not a super like sexy team, but they found ways to win. They grounded out and won a very winnable division. That could be the exact recipe that the Commanders aren't going to win 12 or 13 games, but they can easily be a 10, 11 win team and grind out what appears right now to be the very definition of a mediocre division.
All right, we've got to wrap up the NFL junk grab coming up next. Then we'll move on to Club 1080, things people will do for an ounce of attention on the Fan. Yeah, Fernando Tatis with a moonshot bomb, two-run home run in the first. Padres lead the Braves 2-0. Wrap it up, the NFL junk grab. You know, there's only one team that's 0-4.
Yeah. Yeah. There's bad teams in the league.
But there's only one team.
There's only one team.
That's 0-4.
That's 0-4.
And since 1966, there have been 164 teams to start 0-4. Mm-hmm. Only one of them has made the playoffs.
And I can assure you that this team is not coming back.
Was the 1992 Chargers.
Playoffs?
And the weird thing is,
it's the Jags, by the way.
Yeah,
you don't
I don't remember the 92 Chargers.
Dan Fouts?
In 92? No, Fouts was gone by then.
Was he?
Yeah, that would have been, because that was like, you would have been in the weird like era of like Natron Means and like guys like that.
1992.
Lorenzo Neal, or is it O'Neal? Who was their quarterback in 92?
They went 11-5. Stan Humphries was at quarterback.
Okay, yeah, the great Stan Humphries. Because that team,
Marion Butts.
That team in that run, they were the team that got blasted by the Niners, the Steve Young Niners in the Super Bowl. I don't remember what year that was, but it was in the 90s.
The great Eric Bieniemy.
Okay. Eric Bieniemy was on that team, huh?
Yeah, he was returning
kicks.
Kicks.
Yeah.
And punts.
Yeah, Gary Plummer might have been on that defense and... Yeah, those old school Chargers. So Jacksonville should not be 0-4. They should not. From a talent standpoint, they're not this bad, but when you watch them play, they are a mess. And not only, I mean, they've paid the wrong guys. They invested in their old line. Cam Robinson sucks. He's not a franchise tackle. Don't know why they paid him. They just haven't been able to figure anything out. Across the board, there's no continuity. They're poorly coached. They make too many errors. And unfortunately, like in years past, you could look at it and say that it wasn't Trevor Lawrence was the problem. Like it was more the structure around him that was failing him. Trevor Lawrence is starting to fail a little bit. And Trevor Lawrence is, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is this generational prospect that we made him out to be. I think some of that was just college hype, but he's also not a bad quarterback. He's not Daniel Jones, even though his numbers are like dead even with Daniel Jones at this point in their career. It's kind of scary. We talked about it last week, but we've seen NFL quarterbacks get broken. We've seen their confidence. We see them like screw up footwork. We've seen their timing kind of go downhill, and it feels like Trevor Lawrence is regressing. And that is scary because you just paid him a lot of money and he does not look right. And so I think Doug Peterson gets fired this year. And now you're going for a third regime with Trevor Lawrence, from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson. And you're going to go to another one. And we know with young quarterbacks, that can be a death sentence. So I think there's real issues in Jacksonville. top to bottom. They're not the worst team in football, but they're 0-4. And, you know, the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins are worse. The Dolphins are really, really stinking bad. The Browns are problematic.
Why can't the Dolphins get a decent backup quarterback?
Apparently not.
Why?
I mean, they went out and got Huntley, and it...
It feels like malpractice that they would have not made that a priority this offseason specifically.
Yeah. They're 1-6 without Tua. Yeah. Why don't they trade for, like, Russell Wilson or something? You know?
I don't know. But there's... Again, you're going to get into a whole rabbit hole here, but Miami has been fool's gold for... since they got there. They don't beat good teams.
Yeah, I know you've said that, but I just they when Tua goes down, it's like
they got nothing.
It's like you got to be able to at least hang in there with a backup. You know,
that's like horseradish.
It's horseradish.
It is. Yep. And you know the one team that they beat?
And I like McDaniel, but
you know the one team they beat?
Who did they beat?
Jacksonville. Oh, that was the one where Jacksonville got out to a big lead and then the bed. So, like,
all right, well,
I mean, Miami actually might right now be the worst team in football. There's some real, real problematic stinkers out there. And then I think there's a lot of teams that, boy, are just really, really confusing that I don't have a grasp on. I'll take the entire NFC South for, like, with the exception of the Panthers.
Hard to know.
I have no idea. If you're asking me to rank the Falcons, Buccaneers, and the Saints, I have no idea.
I think the Falcons are the best, but I'm not confident in that.
No.
What is the freaking Panthers
say
doing?
The same thing about the NFC East?
Commies.
Yeah, I guess.
They're commies? They're the best team in there. Come on. They are.
The Eagles
aren't going to come around because Sirianni sucks. The Cowboys are just the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the Giants suck.
It's the commies, then.
It's the commies.
With that old line, who,
Dan
by the way...
Quinn's good.
They can't stop scoring.
They're doing a great job. I don't know... Remember at the start of the year when we were talking about New Orleans offense, and I said I couldn't figure out how New Orleans was doing it because their O-line isn't very good, and they were just scheming guys, and they were playing this old-school approach. Washington's doing the same thing. It's just that they haven't come back down to earth. Their O-line is not... Like, on paper, this should not be good. But they're running the ball at an alarming clip.
Well, their quarterback's more dynamic than New Orleans.
Yeah, and he's got all the time in the world to throw. And he's making big-time plays. Their secondary stinks. And yet it really hasn't been exposed yet. It's the damnedest thing.
Four punts in four games, dude.
It's so weird to me. And so I keep sitting there and thinking to myself, is this for real? And the only thing that gives me, like, a big pause where I'm like, I'm not certain that it is. Look, Washington's fine. It's a good team. But again, I give you, they got blown out by the Buccaneers, and then their wins are over the Giants, Bengals, and Cardinals. Those are three of the worst defenses that you can play.
But they want them.
They want them.
Jaden Daniels looks great.
He does look great.
I need to remind you that Dan Quinn took the Falcons to the Super Bowl of all teams.
Yes.
He's a good coach.
Yes.
And they have Cliff Kingsbury, and they don't punt.
No.
And in your face.
And we'll give Kingsbury some credit, right? Because he took a lot of flack in Arizona.
He's good.
He built some really good offenses. Now, the offense has always faded down the stretch. Some, you know, was it him? Was it Murray? So, again, that's the other one is, like, is this going to get figured out too? Because his offenses haven't done well at the end of the year. But, you know, sometimes when you get away from just being a head coach, it's the Lane Kiffin thing. And you can just sit in a little room and just design offenses. Maybe Kingsbury is just better to sit in a room and design offenses.
Well, and he needs a quarterback like Daniels.
Yes.
It seems like a really good match.
Yes. What he's doing for a rookie right now is really, really stinking impressive. I would tell you that arguably the two best quarterbacks in the NFC right now were Sam Darnold and Jaden Daniels. This is why the NFL is must-see TV.
Things people will do for an ounce of attention. Next on The Fam.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.